Evening, Dale. How are you doing? Or should I say good morning for you? Hopefully, I'm coming through loud and clear.
Hello.
How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm good. Just making art, just waking up, getting into the day.
Well, go get caffeinated. Caffeinated, caffeinated. I can't even speak now.
So, are you, was it Crypto Queen that I was talking to?
No, Hales.
Hails, that's right. So,
I know us women are starting to take over. So I'm just going to start getting the room set up. If you've got anything you want to post in the top Jumbotron, please go ahead and do so.
yeah, no worries. Cheers.
Evening, Jay, Mercy, how are you doing?
Hello, all good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. It's nice to meet you.
Likewise, thank you for the invite.
Pleasure. Just going to start getting the room filled up. So I'm going to start getting everything shared out and hopefully people will start filtering in.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, Mercy.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine.
Like I said, if there's any information you'd like to share in the space, feel free to add it to the Jumbotron. I think this is where we need an audio track, really, for the pre-game warm-up.
Pause and the silence, yeah.
I have been working on something in the background, and the person I'm hoping to collaborate with, hopefully I'll get to speak to them soon, and then maybe we will have a track.
Wish Twitter gave it by default. It would have been easier.
It would be nice if there was like an option within the app to do it, but I don't think Elon's up for that just yet.
Yeah, that's true. He has bigger fish to fry.
He really does. Hopefully, our co-host she'll be with us shortly. Let me see if I can find some music that I can try and get to play. Oh, we have Duncan in the room. Is he going to come and join us? Evening, Duncan. How are you doing?
Good evening, good evening. I'm very good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Nice to see you're fashionably late, as always.
8:01. I think it's because you're excessively early launching this space. Let's put it that way. You good?
I'm doing very well. We have all of our guests as well here already, so.
Excellent.
Yeah, we're really good to go.
Ready to rock. I'm just doing the usual posting out in our channels, get the room filled out a little bit more as we get underway. Shall I just touch on the Timmy draws that we do?
Want to run through that quickly.
Cool. So for those that don't know, part of our weekly spaces is we do a fun little thing called the Timmy Lucky Numbers draw that we do on each of our spaces, and it relates to our Timmy NFT collection. We have elected, given the topic we've got here and guests that have given up their time to join us this evening that will have introduced themselves shortly, we have elected to push the draw to the end of the spaces so that then those that wish to drop off can drop off. Those that can stay for the draws can choose to do so. And this evening we actually have three draws, I believe. We've got a draw for 30K, 40K, and then 50K treasury. That is before the multipliers kick in. So it's set to be a really interesting draw that we will use to close out the space with. But yeah, otherwise I'll hand over to you to sort of introduce the topic. But I would say, as a freelancer of some 7 or 8 years prior to me embarking on new endeavors, this is going back a while. I'm really interested to hear more about this kind of burgeoning sort of like sector and having the input from our awesome guests. So I'll hand back over to you, Hales.
Yeah, luckily this space is recorded, so if anybody does happen to miss the start, they can always play back, and we always do have quite a large number of playbacks on our spaces. So this week's topic is probably one that's a little bit out of field for us. We are expanding our horizons and digging deeper into blockchain and functionality and utility. So this week we're actually looking at Web3 and freelancing future, as there are a lot of freelancers around, and it'd be interesting to see actually how Web3 and blockchain has impacted or affected you know, the freelancing future and the gig economy. And by gig, we're not talking about music, stand up. It's actually job gigs that we're discussing this week. So I have three guests up on stage with myself and Duncan this evening. We have Dale. And then here as well, we also have Jay and Mercy. So Dale, if I can start with you, I know it's early where you are right now, but if you'd like to introduce yourself a bit more for everybody.
Hey, so my name's Dale. I'm an NFT artist from Australia. I've been making art all my life, like exploring different businesses and like comic sales and merchandise, as well as doing heaps of different commissions over the years for all different types of people. But yeah, that's me, I guess. I don't know what else to say.
Well, that's you in a nutshell, right?
Yeah, I guess. So hopefully I'll be able to share some like interesting thoughts about, you know, commission-based work and gigs within like Web3 and maybe just in general as well.
No, looking forward to hearing from you. And also thank you very much for getting up at silly o'clock to join us. So it is really, really appreciated.
No worries.
And then as well as Dale, like I said, we have Jay and Mercy, and they are here from Layers Protocol. So who would like to start by introducing themselves?
Hey, everyone. My name is Jay. I'm the founder of Layers Protocol. Based out of Dubai, I started my first company about 3 years ago during the pandemic. And I'm a designer by passion and by profession. So UI and UX was something I've been doing for 12 years now. I've hopped into the bandwagon of freelancing when I was 18, so about 12, 13 years ago, and eventually forged my way through a couple of jobs, set up my own business, scaled it to good six figures. And Layers Protocol is my second business where I have sat on the seat of being a freelancer previously, and now I'm a client. So I hire, recruit freelancers and full-time employees. So I figured out the problems that I face as a freelancer still existed. So that's when I started Layers Protocol to bridge that gap of trust and transparency by using blockchain technology. So that's me in a nutshell.
Thank you, Jay. Mercy?
Hi, hello. Kind of live very late here, but can you hear me clearly?
Very well.
All right. So my name is Mercy. I'm a content writer, a marketing strategist, and a community manager. I'm currently the content writer and marketing strategist for Layers Protocol. And I have over 2 years experience in the industry. What else? Yeah, I'm a budding lawyer. And I really love to write content. What else? I think that's me in a nutshell, actually.
Thank you very much. So that's a brief introduction to all our guests this evening. So it looks like we have a lot of experience up here to help us dig into this topic. And where I'd like to start with you guys is, why is Web3 important for freelancers, or is it not important for freelancers?
Oh, well, I guess like,
Dale, go for it.
Okay. I guess like, well, Web3 is cutting out the middleman for a lot of different things. Like, you know, we don't have to do as much to get our content to people, like, especially how there's, you know, there's a lot of indie projects being built, like where there's a lot of digital art or digital things being made that can move really quickly. And it's, I guess, less reliant on the mainstream and like, you know, paying with dollars and stuff. Like it's paying with crypto that people have collected. And so there's a different kind of market within that. And so I think that it's just, it opens up a lot of different doors to making, a different type of community and culture, compared to maybe some of the stuff that has become a bit more stale in like Web 2, maybe like, you know, through just galleries or, doing art for already big companies and stuff. Like it adds a whole nother level to be able to interact with communities that want to collect art. So I guess that's why I think like Web 3 is important for like freelancers and stuff, just to explore, different opportunities, especially it being mostly all from home and like where you can control a lot of the way that you, promote and market your stuff, and get in contact with people. Yeah.
I think Dale touched on a couple of good points. From my perspective, I've never really felt the necessity that it's a huge difference between the Web 2 and the Web 3 freelance economy. It's been going on for a while. People initially traded cash, checks, bank transfers, and then eventually everything became online with Upwork, Fiverr, Freelancer, and a couple of big names that everyone knows of. I think it's an evolution. Prior to the internet, there was, of course, gig economy. It always existed. Kids or teenagers washing someone's car, taking 12 or 15 bucks to do that. There was also a way of freelancing, right? So eventually when internet came in, it was different, with online payments by using card such as Stripe and then PayPal. It was different. I think it's just another stage of evolution where Web3 is trying to bridge the similar gap, except you see certain perks, certain nuances, such as you can view the users can own their data. Unlike in Web2, where if you're a freelancer on Fiverr or Upwork, you have to stick to that particular platform and you're bound by certain rules and restrictions and guidelines that you have to follow constantly. And if you have to move to another platform, you have to start from scratch. I think Web3 gives us the ability, as people who are into technology, people who can build technology for certain use cases, is build a unified system on any blockchain that a user can transfer their data from one place to another and continue their freelancing and scale it rather than having to start all over again. For me, to answer that question in a nutshell, it's more like it's an evolution. And I think it's a good evolution that I'm quite impressed with and happy and moving towards. So yeah, let's see how that goes. We're still quite early, to be fair.
So listening to what you've just been saying, it sounds like with Web3, you actually have a bit more of an increase in your autonomy and the ability, or you have more control over your work and what you're doing. So with platforms like Fiverr, are you as, or would you as a freelancer have to pay them a percentage for the jobs you got from that platform? And would that be reduced with Web3, or would it even be completely removed in Web3?
I think that comes to a topic of finances. Let's say if we are comparing the Web2 platforms, like you mentioned, Fiverr or Upwork, there's a huge amount of fees that clients have to incur. When it comes to layers, because I'm completely bootstrapping this company, I have to definitely add fees to all the transactions as an intermediary. I'm still a middleman, end of the day. I'm building the technology, although we're built on blockchain and your data is owned by you. I'm still facilitating by creating a platform that connects two parties. So that's a fee that is obviously required. But if you're a highly funded company like Contra or Braintrust, then
you can afford to either have no fees or low fees, because you can spend and burn investors' money to fuel your user growth and client growth. There are two kinds of fees. There's one is blockchain transactional fees, and the other one would be the fees that a freelancer or client pays to get that particular service. It's a huge topic. I think we can delve into it if we want to, but it's very variable. There's different types of fees applicable to every topic when it comes to freelancing platforms.
No, thank you for the openness in your answer there, because we've had people in the past, we've had musical artists, and looking at the difference in, you know, your traditional platforms to now this whole new wave of platforms, you know, there is more control over the money for those artists. And I was just trying to see if it would work in a similar way with freelancers.
Yes, I think when you're paying fees to Web2 companies, you have no idea where the money is going. But let's say if I had to be transparent about where we're allocating the money we make from our platform, if let's say we're taking a dollar each from every freelancer, hypothetically, and we have accumulated $100, we can openly showcase that it's in the DAO, and we can have a certain voting rights on should we spend 10% of that on building a new feature that can help X user base to do X action and that can benefit them with a Y or a Z. Then that's something that Web2 companies don't do. And then we can do that, because end of the day, as a platform that's building technology, you still have to pay the people who are building it, like my engineers, my content writers, my designers, marketers, also if we're running paid ads. So there's always a Web2 that's entangled into everything that's Web3. So at this point, like I was saying, that we're quite early. So figuring out a lot of nuances where we can help the freelancers benefit from this and know where the money goes. It's like paying taxes, right? When you're paying taxes, you don't know exactly where those tax dollars or the tax amount gets allocated for and if it's actually useful for you as a person. But with Web3, on a much smaller scale, we can deliver that sort of quality, saying $100, this is where it's going, and this is how you're going to be benefited. And you can openly see how much money we're making and where it goes. I hope that answers the question.
Answers it perfectly. Thank you. So just going to throw out then a question to Dale. So Dale, as a freelancer, would it be important to you to have that level of transparency of where your fees to a platform such as Layers Protocol would be going?
Well, like for me, like if I'm using a website to do my commission work or gig work, like that feels like it's too much for me, really. Like at the end of the day, I just want to be talking to people and they hit me up. I don't really mind like where the money's going or where the transactions are going, to be honest. Like because most of my commissions, right, in Web3, they come from people that have just been following my work. They'll hit me up and be like, hey, can you make a collection for me? Or like, oh, can you do a one of one or a logo or something for me? That's most of what like the work is that I get. And I don't want to have to like put my name up onto a website to say, hey, I'm looking for work, or like even looking at the jobs they want to do. Because then mostly like there's a lot of like wasted time, I find, in freelancing, because it's a lot of time like with dealing with clients and then they don't end up wanting the work and stuff like that. So for me, like I'd rather just like they come to me, I just sort of check the job. And then I'll say yeah or nah, and then they can do whatever they want with the money at the end of the day. Like if they're selling my work or like, you know, that sort of stuff. But I guess that's why, because I don't use many of the websites to set up jobs. Like I'm just like in DMs, you know, hit me up sort of thing. And so that's where it gets like, rather than trusting a website to deal with all the work, I just got to know if the dudes, or like, you know, the women as well, that are, they're all good and accepting of like the job and stuff. And I think though, the thing about it being transparent with the wallets in Web3 is that like people tend to be a bit more genuine if they're going to spend things, like, because they don't want to ruin their reputation or whatever, especially if they're like an artist or a collector or something. But then, yeah, that's where you got to be careful about who you're trusting with commission work anyway, like you would on a website and stuff too, because, you know, they can, on the website, they can still mess around with it and just be like, no, I don't want to do it, or I'm never happy and stuff like that. But I don't know. That's my thoughts on that sort of stuff.
No, it's definitely a great way to dig into sort of the early stages of, you know, the impact of Web3 on freelancers. And obviously, guys, if anyone down there has a question for anyone up on the stage, please ask away. You know, you can request the mic, or if you're not comfortable coming up on stage and asking a question via the mic, on the bottom right hand side you have your little speech bubble. If you click on that, that will post a question in the thread for the space, and then, you know, myself or Duncan will be more than happy to pose those questions for our panel on your behalf. So I've just seen we've got Text RP come up. Is that you, Will? Oh, is he up?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Will here with Text RP. How's everyone?
Doing good, Will. How are you?
I'm doing well. Great topic today. And I just had a question. Was it for Jay from New World?
Yep.
Okay. Hey, Jake. Jay.
Hey, thanks.
So my question is, it seems that it's sort of trying to take the place of platforms such as like Upwork or Fiverr. Is that correct in kind of the market that you're trying to tackle here?
On a high level, yeah.
Okay. All right. So if that's the case, I guess my question is, what's your market sector? Like who are your customers and the different segments of those customers? And what is your differentiator to platforms such as the current ones? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. So primarily, we're focused on acquiring and enrolling designers and developers, because those are the two industries I'm very well versed with, because I run a design agency and I've partnered with dev agencies, and I'm building also Layers Protocol with an in-house dev team. I'm aware of the kind of problems that the devs and designers have, and that's where we want to try and focus on only enrolling these skill set from the market. When it comes to USPs or freelancers, initially we're planning on targeting only emerging markets, which is Africa, Lebanon, Bangladesh, India, Philippines, Vietnam, just to name a few. Because there's immense talent in this region, and they don't know how to get clients. Now, there was another point that Dale very well mentioned, and I wanted to pitch in, is that when I look at Dale's profile, he's been constantly on Twitter. Like, he's someone who knows how to use socials, how to promote his work, how to talk about it in a very friendly and natural way. This helps him with lead generation. That's why people come into his DM. But it's not as easy for other freelancers within emerging markets, where they probably have a job, they want to make some extra bucks to cover their rent or buy and upgrade their laptop. So that's the market we want to target. We want to really vet the sort of talent that exists out there and connect with clients and consumers that are in high paying regions. So the US, the Middle East, Europe, UK, Canada, Australia, And this is where we're going to bridge the gap, because we'll be able to vet the freelancers because we exactly know the kind of designers and developer quality we need to bring and onboard and connect the clients with that particular talent that can be useful. When it comes to the platform specific USP, it's hard. I would say that we're very good at identifying talent and getting them on board. So that would be something I'm going to bank on big time, because we have a good team to onboard some of the best freelancers we can for the clients. And yeah, hopefully we can bring in some good revenue for the freelancers and also for the platform with high quality work. I hope that answers your question, TextRP.
Sure, it does. And a follow up. So the transactions will be in crypto payments. How are you planning to acquire this base of developers? And also, how are you going, or how are you planning to reach out to those entities that may benefit from such developing team? And also. Is this a team collaboration, meaning would someone be able to put together a team, or is this on an individual freelancer basis?
Again, very good questions. I think the team version is something that we're not going to release anytime soon. The architecture for that is a little complex. So initially, we're looking at individual freelancers only. Acquiring them is pretty much done from our side, because we have minted out our soulbound NFTs, and these users will be able to invite their friends and their peers. So we're trying to keep it invite only, because we still need to test the waters, and we're going to cap it at a certain user level before we can scale it further. When it comes to acquiring the clients, within my network, I've worked with about 200 startups for my agency. We've consulted everything from small startups, which is bootstrapped, to enterprises that make millions of dollars a year. So I'm going to tap into that network to get them to start using the platform at lower cost initially, because the clients are going to pay a part of the fees. And we're going to also have another revenue model where we're going to charge these people to hunt and find talent that can work with these companies. So imagine a recruitment and an HR sort of an approach, but within the freelancing realm. So we have multiple ways we're planning on generating revenue for the company without raising external investment and basically putting the control into someone else's hand. That's our plan right now.
Oh, okay. All right, great. Thank you, Jay. And one final question. How is communications handled within the protocol?
It'll be within the app itself. So we have a dedicated dashboard for clients and freelancers to communicate with each other.
Okay, great. I appreciate it, Jay. If you are interested in some further discussions with communications infrastructure, our DMs are open. Thank you for answering those questions.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I see what you did there, Will. I see. I'm going to have to keep my eye on you, mister.
It was a smart way. You have to give it to that. He did it very well.
Well, you know, I'm always open to innovation. So this is something I can keep my eye on. So I appreciate it. Best of luck.
We know you will. Don't worry. You're very much a regular in a lot of our spaces. So, you know, I won't hold it against you in the slightest. So we do also have Ace up on the stage, who's been waiting nice and patiently with his hand up. Hope it hasn't been too strenuous for you there, Ace. You have a question?
Hi, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Duncan, how you doing? I was kind of tuning into this. I think it's Jay. Yeah, I was kind of tuning into your conversation, just popped in here, and you're talking Fiverr, you're talking talent, and capitalizing talent. And I it's a very interesting subject, because I'm kind of have a little rendition here and then go into a question. So one thing that I've noticed is, a culturally speaking, cryptocurrency adoption by, let's say you have a client base of, or a potential client pool of 20,000 people, let's use a better number, 100,000. So say you have a client pool of 100,000 people that would actually purchase the services provided by the people that are onboarded onto the platform. Of those, of that client pool, the people that would adapt to using cryptocurrencies as a medium of payment for services is probably far less than, you know, a handful of percentages. And that's probably a global phenomenon. Maybe I'd be a little bit more liberal about it and say, what, above 10, 20%? I've witnessed this just in my own experiences managing a retail business, just kind of seeing how platforms on the internet kind of operate, also seeing the contested nature of blockchain and cryptocurrencies throughout the world. Thankfully, we're talking XRPL here, hopefully. It's probably going to give us a better leverage point. But moving capital from the client pool, or taking the client pool and reducing it down to actual monetized clients, then moving that capital into the hands of the talent in which they're paying for, it seems likely that you were talking about a medium or a broker or a middleman. It seems like that would be feasible to do. And my question to you is, operating as a middleman or a broker in between those transactions, could you actually take your clients who are less inclined to use cryptocurrencies averse? I had this problem with Habitat for Humanity, by the way. We were trying to get Habitat for Humanity on ARC Institute, and we ran into the same problem. Would you be able to operate this company as a medium to allow for ease of access to that client, those monetized clients' capital, regardless of their state of awareness of cryptocurrency, and potentially help, you know, service the interests of them using cryptocurrency or incentivizing them and walking them through it? Is that something you'd be looking to do?
Yeah, I think I also touched on one of the points that we're very early at this stage. Even when I talk to a couple of potential clients in my network, this is one of the biggest challenges. They said, I don't want to go into Binance or any other exchange, buy it, move those funds into another wallet, from there onto Layers, and then from there put it in another escrow, and then pay the freelancer to do the work. That's a lot of work. I think that comes to the topic of on-ramp and off-ramp and building partnerships in which it can become much easier. But then again, you'll end up losing fees, and based on the slippage and the market's volatility, there's more money that the client will lose. Instead of $100, they might end up with $75 by the time it reaches to the Layers account. This is highly challenging. This is a problem that we're going to solve a little later. Right now, we're not looking at acquiring 10,000 clients. We're just looking at a few five-figure clientele who will help us test the waters, understand how far this is working. Because there was one more point I mentioned, that because this is completely bootstrapped and this is my second business, we don't have a huge amount of burn rate. We can really survive on a handful of good talent and good clients that we can build an ecosystem with and see how this works. If, based on my assumption and having guided a couple of startups so far, if this goes well, based on all the hypothesis I have assumed so far, then we can scale this much further. But we're so early, I don't expect millions of users yet, or even six figures in USD coming in. But I know for a fact that this can float the boat and help a handful, if not countless number of freelancers in emerging markets. So yeah, that's my answer to it.
Okay, so going to the point that you made about scaling, I don't believe that any blockchain technology that can't scale and compete with traditional systems or traditional anything is really, it could be troubled. So in terms of scale, you do have a plan for scaling it, and it does have a ceiling, right?
Depends on which phase. I think every phase that we're planned for, there's a ceiling at which we have to cap. We cannot actually take more users for phase one and phase twos. So we're capping that as we go.
But I mean, obviously, so the idea here is to be able to take market share away from potential competitors who are less advantageous to their users. So there, you do have a model or a tactic or a plan for that somewhat in the future, that question. Yeah. And then the second question is, are you built on the XRPL?
No, we're built on Matic at this point.
Would you consider building on the XRPL?
We might, but that's where my tech team will be the guide for this, because I trust them with their roadmap for it. But as of now, because we are in touch with Polygon, and we're planning on getting more support from them. That's what we're building on. But yes, we're open to exploring XRPL.
Do you have any financial risk managers or securities advisors or lawyers or anybody that work for your team?
Yeah, we do. We have.
Have you consulted with them about what ledgers you would like that you guys would have the best opportunity on?
Yeah, so that's the question for pre-launch, I would say. As of now, we're still in the tech building phase. So Q3 is where we have assessed most of the work that's going to come in when it comes to legality, finances, and all the nitty-gritties.
Well, in order to operate within the United States, currently right now, XRP is the only one with regulatory clarity. So considering that you may have a client base as well as a pool here, is that something you'd consider in weighing in on?
Yeah, so we have consultants that are working on all of this. So we're primarily going to run from Middle East, and we're going to start acquiring clients and freelancers from the regions that we are allowed to, and then we're going to scale to the US.
Okay, cool. Thank you. That's enough questions.
Wow, Ace, talk about asking the tough questions. Thank you for that. It was almost like you knew where I was wanting to go next, because obviously bringing any business to blockchain comes with its challenges, and accepting that when you're building on blockchain, standard fiat may not be the main method of payment, or probably won't be the main method of payment. So, Jay, when you've spoken to freelancers, how easily have they accepted the crypto world and cryptocurrency?
So half my team right now on my first company is paid in crypto, because the countries they're working from, inflation is really high, and they're not willing to, or the transfers are not allowed to those places. So for that, for them to run their livelihoods is primarily based on crypto payments. So there are a lot of talents that's working right now in certain countries, which they cannot really use USD. So they have to take stable coins and make do with them. So we have quite a lot of freelancers looking to start working with us.
And Dale, when you first heard about crypto, what were your thoughts in terms of taking payment for your services in something other than the Australian dollar?
Well, at the start, I had no idea about how I felt about it, because I didn't know enough about crypto. But as I started building like my own art collection, and I got more used to using crypto as transactions, and then being able to like pay myself back into fiat with it, then I was like, oh well, okay, like this is just how it works. And so then all I need to do is have a verbal like confirmation with a dude or whatever, and they'll send me the crypto when I've done the job. And yeah, like it just felt like it was just another sale, but it was just a much more like specific sale. Like, yeah, after a while, it didn't faze me at all. The big thing though was, remembering that it's not actually fiat. Like it's crypto, you know, it's not worth anything until I sell it. And so it was easy to get caught up in the idea that I was like, you know, I've made this amount of money for that commission, but I'm going to hold it in crypto because it might go up even higher. And then it goes down further and you're like, oh, right. So I only made half the amount or whatever for that commission if I sell it. And so I think as a freelancer, you need to really consider like the risk of keeping it in crypto. Some methods that people use are like maybe they'll take out half at the time of sale and put it into their like currency, and then keep the other half in crypto. Or depending on how, you know, much you need that that crypto right now, you sell it all or you hold it all, you know. I think that was a thing that that really like was a big thing to get my head around, is that yeah, it's not actually money yet. It's like crypto that can be converted into money, but it can drop off in value very quickly. So that was the big thing, I think, really.
So education would be important for any freelancer wanting to bring their skills into this environment, because you would need to know the basics. I mean, when you think about it, there's a lot of different coins out there, and that could involve multiple wallets, which may make things difficult or confusing.
Just something else I would say is being aware of blockchains that have fees and ones that don't. So, like, say, comparing Ethereum with its big fees, you could go to another blockchain, say, like, XRPL, like, or XRP, and Algorand, and those both have significantly smaller fees, where it's, like, pennies or whatever, if that. I think just as a freelancer, being aware of the extra costs that come with using certain blockchains. But most people will start off with the most popular ones, like Ethereum or whatever. But yeah, there's lots of other growing ecosystems in like the different chains, and they can have, you know, heaps better chances of success and like, less loss through fees. So I think that that's also another really important thing, just like you were saying, is learning about the different chains that exist.
And is that something you thought about when you were creating Layers Protocol, educating freelancers coming into a crypto environment?
Yeah, I think that's part of one of our biggest goal for this year, is to educate a lot of new beginner freelancers, all the way from safety of handling their wallets to managing their finances when it comes to crypto. And like Dale was saying, that crypto is crypto. You cannot really compare that with fiat money. Sometimes it exists, sometimes it may just not exist because of the volatility in the market. And that's where we're going to come in and try and educate as much as possible, saying, we're not financial advisors, but we can at least tell you how safe you can be out there. So that's a huge factor that we're going to jump into.
Yeah, and I mean, this is one of the main reasons we hold the spaces we do, because we are very much an educational platform. We have our own academy, so people can come in and learn about the XRPL. They can learn about, you know, finance on a more basic level and looking after their money. And, you know, hopefully this space will be able to use this as well to continue with educating the community, because it's important. There may be freelancers down in, you know, the listeners who have questions that they need answers for. They've come looking for answers for. And I mean, if there's anything you guys at Layers obviously need any help with or have any questions with that we can support with, you know, please do reach out, because we have that existing academy there already. We do have XBACT, who has come up. Did you have a question?
I had a question and to add to the conversation. I should join this thing because I saw Dale was up here. I know he does some NFTs in the Algorand space. It was pretty cool. Some pretty cool art he has. Yeah, we're a stablecoin project looking to try to get artists to accept our stablecoin as their medium of exchange. And as you just said, like when Dale was talking about when you buy something, you hold in the crypto that goes down in value. Our big mantra is, you know, holding it in a stable asset so that, it maintains its value until set time you want to, you know, buy more crypto or move it off platform, anything like that. And I've been actively trying to go out and reach out to people and do that. We're also going to have our own NFTs we're going to give out to our community members, you know, just as a reward. And we've been working on that. As of recently. Yeah, we really love NFTs and stuff. I think that they're a really good part of the ethos of crypto and everything. We're actually working on some NFTs where we're trying to combine both beautiful art with beautiful music. You know, I think that that's really nice to be able to see and for people to be able to experience. And for people who are not even in the crypto space, when you show them stuff, they are very fascinated by it and they're like, wow, this is really cool. Yeah, I could really own this piece of song on my phone. You could play it for them. They could see the art and then connect with the artist, you know, that could live halfway around the world, you know, and build a community that way, person by person, through the internet.
So are you guys based with freelance artists or are you just a project that's come together?
We're just a project that's come together. Actually, we're more like the project that's help support and promote the Expat protocol, which is basically like MakerDAO, in a sense. It's built on, it's on Algorand, but of course they want to eventually expand to other chains. But we also want to be a little different than, you know, MakerDAO, obviously, in some ways. And one of those ways is really trying to incorporate NFTs into the ethos of stablecoins, which most people probably don't think about, but you know, they can go hand in hand. Just try to create engagement basically around that, because stablecoins can be a very boring, you know, subject and thing, but everyone loves, most people love NFTs and love art, love collecting, supporting artists, and they love music, which is another part of NFTs. NFTs can be also music as well.
Awesome. Sounds like something I may want to go and have a look in after this space. I've just completely lost my train of thought. Happens from time to time. So let me just pick up where I was.
I would say thank you for hosting this space. I did follow you guys too, and I'm going to be definitely looking over your stuff. That education, what you just said earlier, that's beautiful. Educating people is a big thing. Spend a lot of time onboarding people and explaining to them what a C-phrase is, and like, hey, this is your password. Just don't lose it. But it's not that bad. You can still keep it and, you know, use it and different stuff like that. And to try to explain that, I think for the most part, people do gravitate to it, to people that I talk to and the groups that we hold. And again, NFTs are a great way to onboard people. So helping an artist to promote their art and giving them funding to, you know, to keep going, because sometimes in the bear market, no one's buying their art. So we have actually, you know, send funds to people so they can stay afloat and want to keep staying in this space and producing beautiful art for us to enjoy.
Well, thank you very much. Sounds like you're doing a great thing for your community. And that actually does kind of build into where I was wanting to go next, which was about, you know, building your brand and building trust with the community as a freelancer. Especially in Web3. I mean, how easy have you found it to build your brand out there, Dale?
Sorry, can you just repeat the question again?
So how easy have you found it in Web3 to build your brand and build trust within the community and a potential client base?
Yeah, well, so early on Algorand, which is where I started, it was really difficult because I just had no strategies. I was learning about the space as a whole, and so learning about, you know, how to even mint an NFT and things like that. But I think by going on spaces and talking to people, DMing people that were open to help out, commenting on other artists' artworks and stuff on Twitter, and going into Discords, just having conversations with people, it got me used to the ecosystem a whole lot more. And then from there, I learn about
things like major names of people. So they might be like, you know, Spaces hosts or YouTube creators. It could also be significant NFT collections. And so from there, then I would start trying to get in contact with them, maybe seeing the type of circles that they run with. And then I can start developing my own name through social media and just being active on Discords and stuff by, you know, showing my art around and maybe doing collabs, doing interviews on their YouTube or, you know, like working with just more names. And so doing small jobs early on will get my name and my trust out there, as well as like not being too crazy ambitious with making a huge piece as I come in to a new chain. Just making something small and accessible, like priced well to test the market. And then over time, like as I build a few more holders, then there's a bit more trust because there's always like the main collectors of a chain. And so they'll come in and swoop in first because they've got like, you know, a bit more money to throw around. So they'll test you out and like start DMing you and asking you questions. And then you'll get a bit more like trust within their circles. They'll see that certain buyers have collected things. And then that, breeds a bit more trust into the smaller collectors and, the smaller names as well. So then now you can sort of get in contact with everybody. And then like, you know, as long as you're presenting your content well and, you're not causing any sort of bad name for yourself, you should have some level of success, I reckon, like, because then at least everybody would be semi aware of you and you'd be hopefully pricing and making work that's accessible to the public. If that's what you want to do, but also actually that's more if I was just making a name and then a collection of my own. If I was doing freelancing, it'd be doing a lot more odd jobs and developing a name for myself as that's the dude you go to if you want a commission piece done. So then my Twitter page or profile would be mostly the stuff I've done for other people and posting all my commission work and stuff. But, yeah, no, so it took a while. But then when I went from Algorand to XRP, it was much easier because I had all those strategies, and so I could just speed run it and get a really quick name for myself, which really helped.
Oh, God.
So hopefully that.
Thanks, Dale. So, Jay, Mercy, you guys are taking it to the next level of what Dale is. So you're having to build brand and trust for an entire platform, and you're trying to entice people to come onto your platform and use your services. How easy have you found that, or what challenges have you faced with getting freelancers onto your platform as it is now?
That's a question I think Mercy knows we have discussed so many times internally. I think yeah. I'll let her answer this.
All right. Okay. So far I've been enjoying this space, and thank you so much for bringing this up. So basically, the Web3 itself has a lot of challenges, and there's also challenges with Web3 adoption before we even move to the challenges that we face in Layers protocol ourselves. So one of the biggest challenges we've had is user experience. You know, a lot of people are very new to the entire Web3 thing, and it's difficult for them to navigate or even understand the basic thing that we talk about to them. You know, we mentioned education earlier, and after looking at it, and we figured out that the major problem we have is this user experience of a thing. Then we figured, like, we tilted towards, okay, I think we should inculcate education to these things. It's very, very difficult. Most times, getting to know people, if you check the way we've been having issues on, okay, what exactly is working for us? How exactly are we getting to meet people that we are targeting, people that we are moving toward to solve their problems? So we also have scalability as one of the biggest challenges that we've been, you know, facing in Layers protocol. So basically, user experience is like one major problem that we've been facing over the past year. and it's a lot for real. It's really a lot.
And also, I think building a personal brand is, I wouldn't say far more easier, but putting a face on a profile works much better in terms of trust. If I had to talk about crypto education on a daily basis, I could gain a lot more followers and build an established trust because they know there's a face to a profile and they're talking to someone or someone's talking to them. When it comes to a brand, recently people have become far more skeptical. And that's primarily because a brand has a negative connotation because they're looking to sell something. And end of the day, it becomes transactional. That's not what we're all about, but end of the day, that's what we're about, right? So finding that balance where we don't want to completely sell and say, you have to come in, you have to do this job where we'll take a commission, versus trying to train them, teach them, and trying to incorporate an easy way to come in where it benefits them is much harder. And I know this because with the first business I started, it was me as a face, and it was far more easier for me to scale in 3 years and take it to $1 million completely starting zero during the pandemic. But doing this is another challenge in itself. And I think at some point we'll be able to crack it. It's also the market dynamics and trying to establish and understand the psychology of people and where they can stand. Maybe we've dabbled around the fact that I, as a founder, should be more social and try to acquire more freelancers, more clients through socials from there and then push it to layers because that'll be far more faster for us to do. But then there's a big transaction that we have to battle along, which is time. For me to be able to do a lot of social post content is much harder due to my time restrictions. So yeah, it's something we'll definitely figure out this year. And I can probably come back to you with the research and answer on that.
It's something Duncan, I think, can also feel you with, because, you know, he's everywhere all at once. I love working with Duncan, but I don't know, personally, I don't know how he does it. He does so much, and really appreciate it, Duncan. And I know he's probably got a couple of questions he may want to ask you because he likes to save them up.
Yeah, mainly I wanted to come on just to shut you up because I don't like being complimented. I would say, Jay, definitely when you're running, you know, a project, building a company, having that kind of public presence, I think is always beneficial. People like, but when people invest in a platform or a product, they're also investing in the people behind it. To a certain extent, some people more so than others. So I think having a presence somewhere is important. I think trying to figure out what your limitations are and sticking to those is probably even more important, because I definitely in the earlier days was not sleeping and just trying to be literally everywhere all of the time. And it's trying to find kind of a balance. And I'd also say, obviously, we're all here on this little Twitter Spaces call, which is great, but it's also understanding there's also a huge world out there outside of Twitter, and things like LinkedIn for networking with working professionals, freelancers, things like that is a really valuable sort of resource that we are leaning on more and more. But yeah, I've got a few questions I'll drop near the end of the space, but it's just been great listening in to both of your views and hearing Mercy's input also. So yeah, you guys crack on.
Oh, saving them till the end. They must be tough ones, Duncan. So thinking about the future for freelancers in Web3, would you say there are any sort of emerging technologies at the moment that stand out for you that would be important to where we're going? if anyone just wants to jump in and grab that one.
Yeah, let someone else answer and then I'll pitch in.
Yeah. So on like with some NFTs, you can do artworks that change over time or based on things like upgrades or, you know, like customization and stuff. But that's been seen on Algorand and I know on some other blockchains as well. I don't know for sure if it's been on XRP yet, but that sort of technology can open up so many different options, especially in the gaming industry, more experimental art, but as well, like, you know, having the tools on certain marketplaces for NFTs, that can open up some really interesting opportunities, just like all the different types of auctions and the generative sort of collections that have been like really popular. And then the use of Discord, where there's a lot of a strong Discord community within the Web3 and NFT culture. And there's lots of Discord bots that are being built where people can play games and do giveaways, competitions, lots of different things like choose your own adventure stories and stuff too. And so that sort of technology all like intertwines with the creation of NFTs and content. And that can open up, yeah, lots of opportunities to work with others or doing small gigs for certain things. Like rather than it just being, hey, do you want a JPEG or do you want a video file? Like it could be that it's used for something so much more, which, yeah, there's just heaps more different work through that. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, so that it's sort of the up-and-coming or newest technological advancements that are going to help freelancers in the space. So, yeah, I think you got that. I don't know if there's anything you wanted to add there, Jay.
I don't know if it's tools per se, but we've been looking at a lot of technologies that incorporate storage solutions to the most simple tech like vote and right management and DAOs. I think I've been trying to dabble into understanding how these work and somehow unify them together. The space is as new as it is. It's so vast that there's a lot of interesting tools on a daily basis. But one that's interested me the most and I think everyone should check out is called Lit Protocol. They talk about how you can do key management on decentralized solutions without any point of failure. That's what they're promising on their white paper. So that's one of the most interesting stuff we came across this week. So yeah, there's quite a lot of stuff we'll actually be sharing as well on our profile about the tech we're trying to use and experimenting with. So hopefully in the next couple of months, you'll see more tech-related posts coming from our side and tools.
Which is important, right? Because without the right tools, you can't do the job.
Exactly.
Gail, if there was one thing, thinking back to when you first came into the Web3 space, if there was one piece of advice you could have given yourself back then as a sort of new freelancer artist in the space, what would it be or what would it have been?
I think it's got to be like enjoy the lifestyle. And with that, you know, like have fun when you're doing it in this space, because you're going to be losing money. You're going to get like scammed, you know, you're going to lose access to all your stuff. There's going to be people surrounding you all the time that are hating like the things that you're building or the blockchain you're working on. You're always going to feel like, there's something better you could be doing. But I think if you can just enjoy the lifestyle, enjoy the memes and take a step away from it all if you can, like, and, you know, take care of your mental health, eat properly, sleep, you know, touch grass, as they say, then you can survive, you know, like, but it's also, you know, enjoying that lifestyle that can be changed really quickly. Like, one of the strengths as a freelancer is that you can adjust very fast with what you choose to do. Like, you might be doing, you know, a commission for one guy one day, and then the next day you're like, no, I'm just going to do some art, like, for myself or whatever. You know, well, I'm going to take this day off, or I'm going to work on this other project that I really want to do. And so I think embracing the, like, the fluidity of that lifestyle can be the strength, where there's some big companies that might come in and they can't move as fast as you. Like, you can change and adjust. And so I think, yeah, enjoying, like, trying to live well and, you know, embracing the sort of silliness of it and the difficulties that we all share in here, yeah, it makes it heaps easier long term, which is, you want to think long term with this. Yeah.
Would you say the same, Jay, or are you on a different journey to what maybe Dell has taken, because you're creating a larger business? You know, would you give yourself different advice when you first started this journey?
I'd say understanding the technology is something I missed out on initially. I've been into the crypto space for a while, and my first freelancing gig was for half a Bitcoin, if you could believe it. And this was when it was around $200. I wish I had deeply understood this at that time as to how this works and how, where this could have potentially gone. That's where I lacked on. So recently I've become a lot more detail oriented in understanding how technologies work. But there's always something new releasing on a daily basis, and it's hard to keep up. So be very detail oriented and be extremely passionate about what you're doing. I think that takes you much, much ahead than you would expect. So that's something I wish I knew a couple of years before.
And Mercy, same for you. What advice would you have given your previous self before, you know, you came into this space?
Oh, well, one thing I always tell people is to learn first before going into whatever it is that you are going in. And don't rush into the space, because at the end of the day, you need to, like, niche down to what works perfectly for you. So I would have advised myself to, you know, learn a bit more before, you know, delving it. Eventually, when I got into the space, it turned out that I had, like, self-taught myself in most of the things I learned, which was good. You know, everything has pros, everything has cons, right? So it was good for me, but then there were still some disadvantages to it. So I would have advised anyone coming into the space newly to, you know, just calm down, learn so well. I mean, you can learn as you go on, but make sure that you understand the major thing that you are going into. And yeah, we get better over time. So basically, just learn, educate yourself, and make sure that you are with people that would, you know, hold your ends as you go on in this space.
So education, mental health and mental well-being, and surrounding yourself with the right people seem to be three key takes from, you know, what you guys would advise yourself when first coming into this space.
Yes. You know, it's really something that we cannot, like, emphasize upon for a very long time, because if you are not so vast in the space is so saturated to the point that you get easily frustrated, start having imposter syndrome. And if you are not well grounded with people that are there enough to, like, you know, encourage you as to move in, I'm talking from a perspective of someone that was a newbie 2 years ago. Do you understand? So you need to, like, you know, put yourself there, educate yourself, and protect your mental being your mental well-being as well as much as you can. It's going to like help you to like keep sane while you work, because there's a lot of stress in here. Trust me.
Oh no, I feel you in terms of a lot of stress, and I know, you know, Duncan briefly touched on it, finding that right balance, and his hand has gone up, so I think he's got either a really important point to make or he's ready to ask some questions.
So I have a question, and this is to all of our lovely guests that are up here. So with Treasury, we're trying to be real advocates for inclusion and focusing on empowerment, like through education. So the inclusion aspect of it is something that is hugely important. And at the top of the show, I was thinking the great thing with Web3 is that it is the ability to connect people from completely different walks of life, geographies and demographics, which is a huge, huge positive. And I think it is facilitated through the means by which people can now readily receive crypto payments. You probably don't need an entirely smartphone in order to be able to do that. And certainly for certain people in like developing countries, some people don't even have access or the ability to open a bank account, but they have the ability to earn crypto, trade airtime for goods, and everything else. The question that I had is that in the kind of Web3 and freelancing, there's also the tech aspect of things, whereby, okay, there's certain aspects of Web3 freelancing that you could do with very, very low tech, but there's other aspects of it where there would be some tech requirements. And with a space that is evolving at pace and where technology needs to keep up, do we think that Web3 or freelancing in Web3 is going to be more inclusive, or do we think that it is going to grow a larger sort of digital divide because of the technology kind of gaps from, say, country, you know, developing countries versus those that are more advanced and better access to tech and the means to purchase it?
A hard question.
yeah, just a casual one to just drop in.
Yeah. I think though it just gives more opportunities. Where like, you know, I know that if there's people in, you know, like low income countries, I can't think of the right word to use, but like if they're really struggling with like say the lack of technology and currency and stuff, it can still, like Web3 and like blockchain, doing freelance on that can be so much more inclusive because of the lack of fees and lack of having to set up so much stuff, like compared to say things like Fiverr or whatever, where there's like extra fees and sometimes you just want to just go in and just be like, hey, I'm just a dude and I can just draw some things, and then maybe you might get some work. It might not be like super consistent, but if the exchange rate's good for your country, you might be killing it. And like you might be able to price your stuff real low, and so it just gets sold all the time, and that could like set you up. Like, so I think that there's a lot of that sort of stuff. Is that what you mean?
Like, yeah. That's, I mean, I think what you've done is you touched on really well on the basically the potential from, say, the crypto payment side, and also, I guess, the decentralized aspect of it. Because I imagine I haven't signed up to Fiverr myself because I haven't got very many freelancing talents to be putting out there. But I imagine that they are going to require certain information. They may not even be accepting applications from people from certain countries, whereas a platform that is kind of decentralized, where they're okay with a PFP and it's more about what you can do as opposed to who you are going to be, you know, are going to be a lot more open. And you know, to the point that you made about basically the exchange rates and things like that, we have a, we have our artist that has done our Timmy NFTs, that comes from, a developing country. And when we were talking about basically the fees for it, there was like, just sheer delight because we were offering what we considered to be on or around, like, guess industry sort of rates for like the designs, and for them it was probably like two or 3 months worth of work, and our super talented artists like plowed into it like and got the job done in basically like 2 or 3 days, and then happy days. So it offers a win-win. But I think the second part of the kind of very long-winded question was specifically about freelancers that require a certain level of tech to basically keep themselves in the game to be able to get those gigs, and whether there's a divide there with basically the means by which they have to either even access the particular tech, whether it's hardware, recording material, you know, or whatever, and also the financial means to be able to buy it. And does it grow the divide, or does it help to like bridge that gap?
Well, I think that with a lot of like this freelance stuff, is you're only going to offer jobs like to people that you can do. So you would hopefully already have the technology. I think that that's a bigger issue in itself if those people didn't have the technology and that couldn't produce the art, because then that's not as reliant on like the blockchain sort of stuff. But I know a lot of artists, though, especially say from places in Indonesia, that say just use their phone and use like a pixel program on there to do commission work for people. And so you like, I think it's more just the state of the world we're living in at the moment, where those countries that maybe can't afford as advanced technology or whatever, if they can still get access to maybe like even a relatively cheap smartphone these days, like they can start creating work. And then it's sort of up to them about the quality of the work, really, which is always what it's about. Like, you could have rubbish technology, just a pen and a pencil and your camera, and be getting, like, higher-end commissions just based on your skill. So it's kind of, like, I don't think it'll make it more of a divide, but I think, yeah, you do. There is always that border or whatever of learning the blockchain technology. But I don't know if that's really a location sort of thing. You know, you just need to spend a whole lot of time on YouTube and then you can probably figure it out. It could even be more accessible because it's not as centralized through government stuff that you need to, like I was saying before, like maybe put your name down for or whatever. Like, you can get more access to those sort of tools.
I think it does. I mean, I think it's, you know, people are going to have different viewpoints, and I sort of got a bit of mine. I was interested to hear, you know, what yours was. I don't know if Jay or Mercy have got thoughts on it. I see we got X-Bact who's got his hand up, whether it's about this or another question, but jump in if it's on this topic, X-Bact.
Actually, yeah, I just want to echo what you said, looking about the working around the people around the world. Yeah, you're working in different time zones and stuff like that. That's that could become, you gotta really get used to that. Like, at first you're like, oh, it's gonna be in our particular time zone. You schedule something, a meeting with someone, but then you're like, oh crap, it's like middle of the night for them. So you have to try to really be considerate when it comes to that kind of stuff. I did have a question for Dale's. I was gonna ask him on receiving and being an artist. When someone commissions work, do you feel a bit more pressured as far as timeline-wise? And do you think that it affects your creativity as far as if you were to just produce the art? And the reason I'm asking this, because we particularly had someone commissioned to make work for us, and I was, and I felt a little bad. I was wondering, because they kept asking, is there a timeline? I was like, no. Just you draw the art. At your leisure, we got plenty of time, because, you know, we didn't really set a time frame for you to release the NFTs and stuff like that. And one of the which is my PFP right here, actually, that you can see. But I was wondering, do you think that affects you when you're doing freelance work, You know, basically if someone is, you know, asking you and maybe giving you a timeline, or if they don't.
Well, so if someone hits me up for a commission, I will ask, yeah, is there a timeline? And because then they might say, yeah, all right, we don't need it until next year. And then I still want to know, like, I'll still be doing it as soon as I can. But that then at least lets me know how casual they are if I get slowed up or something, or I'm like, oh, I've got to take a few days off or something. So knowing that just gets me an understanding of the level, like the expectations from them. And so for you, say, for example, you might not even need to give them an exact date, but maybe you just say, all right, if you reckon it'll take you less than a month, maybe just in a month I'll hit you up again, or you hit me up when you're ready to talk, and then we'll just go from there again, and like we'll just keep in touch or whatever. But I think that having a shorter timeline, it will affect the art. If they need it, say, done in a day or in like 3 hours, then that's going to affect how much I put like my heart and soul into it. I'll always try, but you just can't. And so then as well, it really lets me know quickly if I can say, oh, no, I can't do that. Or, yeah, right, just give me a sec. I'll just see if I can, you know. But yeah, like comparing that to my own artworks, you know, it's when I do my own artworks, I try and think of myself as commissioning myself for an artwork. And then I just try and think, how much would I price this at if it was to sell or whatever. And so I want to have a sort of certain pace about making the artwork. Otherwise, it's hard to justify a lower price that's a bit more accessible, because that's the kind of target market I'm trying to hit up, is like trying to make it accessible and not just super high quality art that maybe never gets sold. And so, yeah, like I try and think of a timeline, but it's more just like per artwork rather than the collection as a whole. I'll just chip away. And that's where it's like the lifestyle of like, I just want to maybe make one artwork a day and then just do that and see where I go and see where I end up. As the market and the NFT ecosystem changes, I'll adjust my direction based on that. But yeah, hopefully that answers what you're saying.
It does. Thank you. Yeah. I was just wondering about that because, we have, like I said, we commissioned someone to do some work for us, and we just wanted to be, you know, not too pressuring because, you know, we don't really have a timeline exactly. I mean, not obviously, maybe like a few months, and they've already produced a few of the arts, and it's this back and forth conversation about maybe change the color here or do that and different stuff. And I was thinking about then signing up some other artists as well to do some other commission works, and, you know, just wondering how to go about that as well. One more question. I'm sorry. Also about, do you also consider collecting, you don't, if you're doing a commission work or freelance, you don't consider collecting the, if there's going to be royalties from it, or you're just doing to be paid per art or whatever contract between you and the person that's asking you to do the art?
So personally, I'll just get the one payment as the job, which isn't always ideal, like in a bigger scheme of things, because obviously if a collection started selling their pieces and selling them for heaps high price, I get no royalties. But it's sort of like that's like an extra question to ask the project, and that could make or break doing the commission, like, because they might be like, no, we're not going to give you any royalties. And but then as well, if they do give you royalties, that's now like a bit more of a contract kind of thing that you want to get into. Like, and that's something that I try and avoid personally. I just kind of like maybe the one or two big payments at once. And then it's like, and we're done with this commission now. Like, I can wipe my hands clean of it. Obviously, sometimes if they're really nice dudes, they might send you a little bit maybe, but it shouldn't be expected, obviously. But no, yeah, so I'm more about the one big payment. If it's a really big payment, then getting a deposit early on or at certain milestones. But that's just how I work, because I want to, like, they've asked for a job and I've put my name to it, and then I get like the rewards through sharing my name around and the initial payment. Then they can do what they want with it to help fund their project. But yeah. Royalties are weird.
Okay, thank you. That answers my question. I just wanted to was curious about that because we what we've been doing is sending payments actually daily, small payments for the amount of work they've been doing, and continue to do that. And afterwards, would really like to send even bonus, you know, reward payments as well. Because I really do believe in the artists you guys are doing the work and should be, you know, commended, and also sharing and or telling people about that you are the person behind the work, you know, giving credit when credit where credit is due. Obviously be like, yeah, this person was the person behind this art and we thank them for doing it.
Yeah. 100%. Like I think that if you've got an NFT project, then yeah, the artist that created the artwork that's the brand is a huge point of like interest to help promote the product. And they can even be a potential spokesperson for the product too a bit. And I think that yeah, like the extra royalties on top that can help the community see what you're trying to do with your project, which is to support the community. But as well, it's like that's something that I think long term it could get a little bit gray, and that's where I think I'm always hesitant to do it because say like, and you can do it as long as it's all in like a mate sort of thing where it's like, yeah, man, I'm just going to send you some money. Like, thanks again for all the stuff you've been doing. But it's when if you were like, say, making, you know, a few hundred grand or something, and then they were like, oi, you've been sending me money. Like, can you send me some more money? Hey, like, bro, you know, like, but so then it's like, all right, do we need to set something up where it's like, this is the maximum amount we're going to pay you, but we can't pay you at all right now because we're going to pay you through the funding that we get through the secondary sales and stuff. Because then that can like help it cap it. That's just an option to think about as well. Like, or just some issues that might come up, but for the artists, they're probably just fine with whatever you send them. So it's not something to stress about, but probably just something to be aware of.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your answers. Thank you.
No worries, bro.
Well, 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 what a space. It's been awesome. I don't know if we've got any more questions from anyone else or any requests.
I don't see any questions in the chain. We don't have anything on the DMs or in the social. So I think, in terms of questions, there's nothing from the community unless anyone wants to come up and ask a question.
Well, we can give them a minute for anybody who's got any burning questions that have gone unanswered. They could drop them down the bottom or request the mic. And what I'd suggest is, because our guests have been really, really polite and at no time really have had the opportunity to actually properly, I don't want to use the word shill, but showcase what they are doing. So we've heard a little bit about Layers Protocol and the super cool stuff that you guys are doing there. It sounds as though you're embarking on a really exciting journey. And whether that's on the Ledger or another the blockchain, it's going to be really exciting to, you know, see what you guys are doing. Perhaps what you might like to do, if you're up for it, is give us a little tease of what we can maybe expect in, say, the next 3 to 6 months. And then if Dale, if you could follow on as well and give us an idea of what you're doing. We've also pinned up at the top a couple of tweets. So there's, you know, for those that struggle to connect with people, there's super easy access to get into their timeline and have a look. You only need to look at the artwork that Dale does to see just how mind-blowingly complex and beautiful it is all in one amazing bundle. So yeah, if we could jump over to you, Dale, afterwards, and you give us an idea of, you know, what's in the pipeline, what's cool, what's happening, any alpha you guys want to drop before we round the space off. But Jay and Mercy will come to you guys first.
I think with Layers, we're gearing up towards doing a soft launch to most of the soulbound NFT holders that we've had. I would highly recommend if anyone's interested in this whole space of freelancing and making some extra bucks within Leos, please join the waitlist. And most of our updates come via newsletter, Discord, and also on Twitter. So we'll keep you in the loop. But one alpha I can give you is that we're coming up with an amazing model where the freelancers can perpetually earn without working when they join the platform. So that's one small hint I could disclose. But otherwise, we realized there was one big problem that freelancers face, especially within the design and development community, is that they never make their portfolio. They have no PDFs, no website whatsoever. So we've reduced the time of a developer creating their portfolio resume to literally 2 minutes on Leos with integrations that were proprietary built, and for designers as less as 5 minutes. So you can be up and running and start making money in no time. And yeah, that's basically two of the most undisclosed discussions I've had internally that I'm disclosing right now. So waitlist is your best way to stay in touch with us and our Twitter, of course. So thank you for giving us the opportunity.
Wow, talk about some alpha. I mean, it's a good job the space is recorded and you can drop it in your newsletter for people to listen back. So I think you guys have offered both clearly a very good understanding of the sector that you're operating in, and you've dropped some really interesting little bits of information there. What a way to get people onto your wait list. That's beautiful. Sorry, go ahead, Mercy.
All right, thank you. Basically, I'll be talking from the marketing perspective, and I really want to say thank you for, you know, coming up with this. It really means a lot to me and Leos Protocol at large. So basically, I just want to tell everyone that, you know, show some support to Leos Protocol, give us some follow. You can join our Discord community, check our blogs, and, you know, you can always reach out to us. Check our website. There's a way you can always reach out to us. There's a form to fill. You can share your opinion. Or if you have anything that you'd like us to know or work on or integrate, we are open to, you know, to hear from you all. So give us a follow. Let's hear from you, and then we can interact from there. Thank you so much.
And last but not least, Dale, sir.
Yeah, so at the moment I'm doing a little poll sort of tournament thing between some like artworks that I've made called Chris Bros to see which one is the top out of the 50 Chris Bros. So if you're on my Twitter, you can follow that. They're just the funny little running animations. I'm also wrapping up my Tree Faces collection, which is a collection on XRPL of trees with faces, a mixture of art and like video content. So I've got, I think about like 30 or something to go of that. And once I finish with that, then I hope to continue with my big art collection, Algo Gods on Algorand, doing some like high quality artworks there. But yeah, I'm keeping the future open and seeing what comes next to work on. Maybe new blockchains or new projects. At the moment, I'm in like the wrapping up stage of things, which has been lots of fun. And that's where I'm at. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Epic. And just as a sideline, I cannot believe that the Barbarian did not win in that head-to-head with the Baiki. If anybody that wants to know, go onto the feed, because the artwork is just... It doesn't detract from the talent in terms of the artistry, but it is just hilarious. There we go.
Thanks.
Great to have you here. And thanks also to you, XBAC, for jumping in. Let's swap a few DMs and just continue to explore like some synergies. Same to you, Will. Great for having you here as well. Hales, you got any closing things? And otherwise we will then be rolling into our Timmy NFT draws. For anybody who wants to drop out, understand if that's what they wanted to do. But Hales, over to you. Final thoughts on the spaces.
I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you to Dale, Jay and Mercy. Really appreciate you for taking the time out of your days. And I know you all have busy days, so we really do appreciate you taking the last, 90 minutes out of your day to come and help talk to and educate the community. We really do appreciate it, because there has definitely been plenty here to be learned, and there's, you know, a lot of synergy in this room right now and connections that could be made. So yeah, I really appreciate it. And a big shout out to Mercy actually for coming back to my email and then the continued conversation we had on, you know, the DMs. So thank you. And Dale, I bet you really appreciated the DM I sent to you asking you if you wouldn't mind getting out of bed super early.
Yeah. Oh, I've been getting up early, so it actually worked out well.
But this is definitely one thing I do love about being in the crypto Web3 community, just how much people are willing to come together for the greater good. And it's something that definitely just needs to continue happening. And I know there's a lot of projects down there listening who feel the same. You know, it's an environment where the more we build, the stronger we build, the better this space becomes. So once again, thank you for your time, guys. And Duncan, if you are ready, we can do the Timmy Looker number draw. Dale, Jay, Mercy, you're more than welcome to hang around, or if you need to get off because you've got stuff to do, we completely understand it.
Thank you so much for hosting us, guys. It's about 1:30 a.m. here.
Go to bed. Go to bed.
Oh my God, go to bed, Jay. I'm so sorry.
No problem.
Really appreciate it. We'll touch base with you in the next couple of days, Jay and Mercy. Thank you very much again. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was going to cut you off anyway, Hales, because you're getting far too soppy, and I was going to just jump in and say, let's give away some treasury, hopefully. Right, so just to round up this space this evening, we are doing our Timmy Lucky Numbers draws, and everybody who holds a Timmy NFT is in with a chance. So these are weekly draws, but our spaces, for those that have noticed, are a little bit more spaced out. That gives us time to, or gives Hales, sorry, because you're doing all that legwork, time to properly kind of structure and formulate like this new season of spaces that we're doing. And so therefore they're happening less frequently, which means that we are going to have multiple draws when we do run our spaces. So we have not one, not two, but three draws happening this evening. The first one is for 30K. If we get a winner, it will roll back to the 10K and we'll do a 10K one. If we don't, it will roll on to 40K. And then it will roll on to 50K. That is before the multipliers are added in the event that it is any of our limited edition Timmy NFTs. So let's get straight into it. I am bringing up, I'm just getting a refresh of BitHomp to show us who the current holders are. I'm bringing up random.org. Hasn't failed us yet, or actually I would say it's failed us multiple times because I have yet to win, but there's always hope. It's going to be awkward if I ever win and I have to announce that it's my NFT. Everyone's just going to think it's a fix. But anyway, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Right, so first number in tonight's draw is number 9. Second number is number 9 again. Third number is number 0. So we're looking for 990 for a win. If it is Timmy NFT outside tier 1, it's going to have four numbers. And if the fourth number matches, the multiplier kicks in. For anybody that's curious, there's a whole page on our website that details all of it. So we are looking for 990. Going to have a look first on BitHomp. That is a no. So that is the tiered Timmies. I'm now going to limited edition Timmies. We had a win last time, didn't we? And it was...
We did, and that person was in the space as well.
And he was here, Crypto Rook, yeah. That was mad. That was great. That was our first draw where we had the winner actually listening in, which was awesome. And so on, and he, someone was like requesting a mic, and it's like, what are they coming up for? It's like, I won! Right, no wins there across the Origins, Christmas, Timmy's, 4th of July, or the Halloween's. So that is our first draw completed. 990 joins a very, very, very long list of NFTs that will that have yet to be minted, that will have 5K treasury available for them to claim on mint. And all of the numbers are listed on the Timmy NFT page. Right, let's roll into the 40K draw. Are we going to get up to 50K tonight? Let's see. I don't think we've ever gone past 50K, have we?
Once or twice.
That always seems to be the tipping point. And then the multiplier kicks in and we get stung for like half a million treasury or something, which is just nuts. Thankfully, the great thing with a Timmy NFT is it's always been with people who are holders of treasury, at least to date. So it's just been great seeing them multiply their bags. So next number, next draw this week is, first number is number 6. Second number is number 0. Third number is number 8. So we're looking for 608 for the win. And fourth number is number 5 for the multiplier. Let's have a look. Oh. Ooh. Suspense. A. Winner.
Ooh.
Gork, no one requested Gork. The mic, so I'm guessing
Gork, check your timmies.
Oh, someone is freaking out right now, and it's not me. I am just, before I make the announcement, I'm just checking the limited editions. I had a very close match on the 4th of July, except it was 3608 instead of starting with 608. But we have got a winner. It is a tier 6 Timmy.
Ooh, which means, the multiplier has kicked in.
Actually, let me just check. Hang on, because we need the fourth number to match. Holy guacamole, it has actually matched. 6085 is the win. Let's have a look. We do need that person, as per the terms and conditions, to have the trust line set. Let's make sure that is the case. Otherwise, it is not a win.
They must have. I mean... You've got to
they have. They got. They've got a nice chunky bag over 100K treasury, and they are about to be. Let's do the maths.
Tier 6 is a 2.5 times multiplier.
They are about to be 100,000 treasury better off by the time we close this space. That is amazing. We have a win.
Wow.
100,000 treasury. Let's just see what that would fetch them when XRP moons and everyone sells. Yeah. One would dream of doing that. Let's have a look. Was it trading at 6? Here we go. That's not bad. A market sell of 100K treasury, which we hope no one would ever do, will fetch them 365 XRP. At the current trading price, it would actually be... yeah, 360 XRP, which is a pretty good return on 200 XRP, I think, or 200 25 XRP NFT. So yeah, we have a win. We have a winner. Just make a note of the wallet so that I can sort out the transfer to them. See, I told you we never seem to get, I mean, I'm sure someone who's good with maths will tell us why that is. It's something to do with statistics, I'm sure. Never seem to get much past the 40, 50K mark. So we did not have a winner for the 30K. We had a winner for the 40K. That will be recorded on the Timmy NFT page, which means the third draw for tonight is back down to a 10K start. Let's roll straight into that draw. So the first number for tonight is number 9. What is it with nines tonight?
You just don't want me to win, Duncan, because I'm pretty sure none of mine start with a 9.
Second number, number 3. Third number, number 4. And fourth number for the multipliers, number 4 again. So we're looking for 9-3-4 for a win, or 9-3-4-4 with a multiplier. Let's jump in. 9-3-4. Ooh. Nine, three, four. I'm just going to keep saying 9-3-4 until I figure out what on earth is going on.
Have another winner.
9-3-4 is all I have to say about that right now. Close one on the Christmas, 6-9-3-4. You've got to be gutted if you don't match the first three numbers, right? No winners in the limited edition, but we have another winner, and it is again a tier 6 Timmy.
Are you joking right now?
I am not joking. 9-3-4-4 was for the multiplier. We have a 9-3-4-6, in which case that person does not get a 2.5 times multiplier, but that person does receive a nice chunky 10K treasury. If they're waking up to that tomorrow morning, if they're in a different time zone, that's going to be a nice little Zarman wallet notification. Let's have a look. Uh-oh. In a surprise twist, that person does not have the trust line set. I mean, what are they doing? What are they actually doing? They've got a few wallets. I'm taking benefit of the doubt in case they screw their treasury tokens in a I will never sell wallet.
I get that.
No, they have not. They have not got the trust line set. Oh, that is gutting. That is gutting. So, unfortunately, that means that 10K is forfeited because their trust line isn't set. It might sound harsh, but it's fair rules, clearly advertised on our website. Same for everybody. You know, it's what we say in a lot of our spaces. You know, if you're going to hold a digital asset, you need to kind of do the bare minimum of, you know, what goes with it. And these Timmy NFTs have this cute little bit of utility built into them. And so it's, you know, it's on you to stay posted as to what is going on. So that means that 9-3-4, because there is another NFT that has 9-3-4 locked into it that's yet to be minted, that will go up in the list as well. And it means that next spaces that we do, we will be rolling into a 20K. We'll be rolling into a 20K draw. How do you feel about that, Hales? Kind of want everybody to win like all the time, so it's a bit of a sour taste. But
I'm just stunned, Duncan. I'm stunned. And yeah, it is the rules. It's there in black and white. So we got to play by the rules. It's just how it goes. I was really excited, a double win in the space, and then it was a single win, and there's another Timmy out there with Treasury attached to it, and you can go on to the Treasury website. We have a list now of all the Timmies that are mintable on XSmart with that Treasury locked in. So if you're feeling lucky, you can always go on XSmart. If you are a Treasury supporter and you want to hold that little bit extra of the community, go and have a go at minting a Timmy, and potentially you could also be walking away with an additional 5K in Treasury tokens, but make sure you have that trust line set.
Excuse me, I don't know why I unmuted the mic just to cough at everybody. Sorry about that. Little touch the man flu that I'm just being really brave about and not mentioning to anybody. What can we say? Yeah, a bit of a roller coaster of emotions there. We had a winner. We had a second winner. No, we didn't. We just had the one winner. Great stuff. Appreciate it to everybody. Obviously, to anybody who is just fallen head over heels in love with the Timmy NFT collections and what they stand for and everything, we would encourage you to go onto our website and look at the Timmy NFT page. Look at the cool things that are happening with the proceeds, with a proportion of the proceeds from the limited edition NFTs that we're doing. We did a sizable donation to the Folded Flag Foundation. We did another donation from the Halloween collection that went to Great Ormond Street Hospital. So trying to do good things, trying to have a bit of fun, trying to have some nice, cool art and a badge of community honor that you can wear as your PFP like I'm doing. If you like the one that I've got on mine, that is the Halloween edition. I know it's not Halloween, but the artwork is super mega cool. And there are actually a couple of those NFTs that are still available to purchase from XSmart. They are the only limited edition NFT collection that is yet to be completely sold out. Otherwise, we have tiers 1 through 5 that are still minting using the spin and win on XSmart. So go check it out, but check the website first that lays down all of the ins and outs of Timmy NFT and what he's all about. And I think that is us done.
It is us done. Keep an eye out on the socials. For our next space, we are venturing out a bit more. So you're going to see a lot more or a lot of fresh faces on our panels. Because I want to keep it exciting. So this evening we had some fresh faces. And they may not necessarily be from the XRPL as well. So, like I say, keep an eye out ready for the next space, because I'm not going to leak just yet what our next space is, but I'm pretty sure you're going to enjoy it. We could be visiting the Matrix.
Absolutely. And final little point of note is for those that haven't been keeping up, we have been publishing quite a lot of new courses on our Academy platform. Most recently, we dropped not one, but two courses. One is on a comprehensive sort of introduction to the XRP Ledger, Ripple and XRP, making sure to clarify that it is not Ripple Coin. Even though it had some really cool names before Ripple became Ripple. And there's an awesome little historic timeline on there, which we believe is the very first timeline to ever have been produced. We actually used the Wayback Machine to find some very, very old websites showing David Schwartz and Jed McCaleb back in the very, very early days. It was an awesome walk through through the past to kind of build out that course. And there is another course which is definitely more advanced that basically covers the consensus protocol, which is a standout
attribute of the XRP ledger in terms of how it reaches consensus prior to new ledgers being minted. And it also goes into the amendment process, which is something that we always hear talked about on the XRP ledger. There's lots of hype and lots of excitement, but lots of people are left thinking, well, what on earth is an amendment and how does it work? So there's a course built out on that. And we have three new courses dropping because they're all complementary, dropping an announcement for this coming Thursday. So we are really enjoying building out all of these educational courses. As a reminder, every course comes with the opportunity for you to pick up some treasury through our learn to earn model that we've got. So please do go and get stuck in. Connect to our website using the Xamarin app and get stuck into some learning. And that's me. Just be done.
Or if you do fancy yourself as a bit of a writer and you want to help contribute to the academy, again, please reach out. We're always looking for contributors towards the platform as well. And I think with that said, Duncan, good night. Thank you everyone for joining us and listening in. And good we night. Will see you again for Treasury Talks in 2 weeks. So our next space is actually going to be the 2nd of April. And like I say, keep an eye out on the socials because that's where we'll be dropping the information about what's coming up. So take care, everyone, and we'll see you again soon. Bye.